MZTV.
Hello, everybody. MZTV. That's where you are, and I'm the MZ part of that, Martin Zender. And yesterday I gave a shout out to Whiskey Mystic, and he was lamenting a little bit, wondering if maybe his time has expired, and I think it has. Whiskey, I'm asking you to leave after what I read yesterday. Whiskey Mystic's been hanging around just jabbing everybody and putting out new age crap and criticizing everything we do, treating us like idiots. And yesterday he said, basically, your hand-picked puppet speakers require teaching information based on authentic, unaltered, and trustworthy information based on your opinions of what they may be. No, based on authentic, unaltered, and trustworthy information, that would be the scriptures, but I know you're not into the scriptures. Gerber Yam Mush. Well, that's what you want to call the scriptures. Zender, your truth is just a small part of the whole truth, which is everything you see happening in the world today. We don't... Let me put it to you this way, Whiskey. Everything happening in the world today is not our truth. It's what the scriptures have to say. Bring some other speakers to your con artists' friends. So he calls it a conference. He thinks we're con artists. So why are you still here insulting us every day? It's getting old. And you did ask if your usefulness has expired, and I say it has. It has. Be gone. Please, leave. But I'm not going to make you leave. You can stay if you want. I'm not going to block you, in other words. Not yet. Bring some other speakers to your con artist friends. Speakers who bring their truth about a much darker spirit who is just as much God as the light-bearing God. That's close to getting you blocked right there. But I want everybody to know the kind of person you are. Speakers who bring their truth about a much darker spirit. You mean like Satan, who is just as much God as is the light-bearing God. Spirit is all things, especially trajectory in both good and evil forms. You're full of shit, my friend. And I would be glad if you left. Okay? Do us all a favor and go find a New Age website that worships dark spirits. And pays more attention to what's going on in the world than what's in the Word of God. I mean, I'm just answering your query. You're the one that said the other day, if I'm recalling it correctly, you were wondering if your usefulness had expired. You were wondering if anybody really wants you here. Well, I'm at the point where I don't want you here. You're a dark spirit. You can't even see your face in your photo here. I don't know what it is. You're a dark spirit. You're dark. Posing as light. I don't like it anymore. So I'm asking you to be gone, but I'm not going to make you be gone yet. But it might come to that. You're on thin ice, Whiskey. You're skating on thin ice. Sorry, I didn't want to start the show like that, but there it is. Like I say, people who think I blocked them, I don't delete comments. I haven't deleted any of Whiskey Mystic's comments, not even his stupid ones. And a lot of people have disagreed with me. But when you talk about worshiping dark spirits and putting dark spirits on par with God and saying that spirit is everything and saying that truth comes from the world, not from scripture, calling our conference a conference of con artists, why are you even here? Nobody is getting anything from you except negativity and insults. So do us a favor and go away, please. Thanks for the visit. It's been fun. It's been real. You know, faith never saved anyone. I know that sounds like a shocking statement. But I was inspired to teach on this based on our friend, our non-friend, Andy Lonizak. Christianity makes faith the thing that saves. Faith is the coin of the Christian realm. Where does that faith come from? It comes from each individual person's personal well of faith that cannot be touched, cannot be influenced, cannot be pushed by God, must be an independent decision. And the lie of the Christian presentation, the lie of the Christian so-called gospel is this. They will tell you that Jesus is your Savior. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, why should I believe in Jesus? He is your Savior. Well, thanks for telling me that. Now let me decide if I want to believe in that or not. And they say, no way, he's not your Savior unless, he's not your Savior unless you believe in him. And your question would be, well, it would help to know if he was my Savior or not. Is he my Savior or is he not my Savior? Because I want to believe the truth. And there's the key. Belief and faith is based on believing and having faith in a truth. Faith is still based on truth. Ephesians defines, or Hebrews defines faith. Faith is an assurance concerning matters which are not being observed, but still on matters. Our assurance is on facts. The fact of Jesus Christ's death, the fact of his resurrection, which was witnessed by many people and recorded for our benefit. Our faith is based on truth. We do not, Paul would never ask anyone to base any faith on a fiction, to hold faith in a fiction. In other words, Paul never used faith as the magic words that made something real, that called something into existence. But this is exactly how Christianity treats faith. Faith is an incantation, a magical incantation from within a person that brings salvation into existence. It speaks salvation into existence. That is a lie. That is not what faith is. Faith is the belief in salvation. And this is the difference between presenting Jesus Christ as a potential Savior or an actual Savior. This is the big difference between the Christian religion and us. They present Jesus Christ as a potential Savior. This can be yours if the price is right. But they confuse it because that's really the way they should put it. They should begin the gospel by saying Jesus Christ is not your Savior. If they were honest, that's how they would begin. But they begin with false advertising. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity. That's the way they begin. And that is false advertising. Because when you say, oh, now that is great news. Now let me decide if I want to believe that or not. And that throws them for a loop. Because then they're required to say, well, it's not true unless you believe it. But you just said it was true. You said he is the Savior of the world. He is my Savior. Well, he is and he isn't. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, he is your Savior if you believe in him. But he isn't my Savior if I don't believe in him? Right. Okay, so right now I don't believe in him. So according to what you just said, he's not my Savior. Right. Well, why would I believe in someone who's not my Savior? Well, no, he'll be your Savior if you believe in him. But wait a minute. He did his saving work 2,000 years ago before I was even born. How in the world can my belief make him turn him from a non-Savior into an actual Savior? That's impossible. And it is impossible. Thus, you see, when pressed, the faith required by the Christian religion is a magic incantation that brings something into existence that previously did not exist. And again, I say this again, if they were honest, They would begin their presentation of the gospel with, Jesus Christ is not your Savior. Jesus Christ did not save the world. Jesus Christ did not save anyone at the cross, especially not you. That's how their gospel should begin. That is an honest presentation of what they actually believe. And they just get themselves into trouble when they say, He is your Savior. He is the Savior of the world. Because I'll say it again, that begs the question, well, that sounds like fantastic news. Let me decide whether or not to believe that. But that is our presentation, and that is the truth. So faith is not a magical incantation that brings something into existence for the first time. That's why I say faith never saved anyone. Something else saves everyone. What is it that saves everyone? Well, the question is, who is it who saved everyone? But you could also answer, what is it? And the answer would be grace. And for that, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For in grace, through faith, are you saved. But in the Greek, this is the complete verb form. In grace, through faith, ye are ones having been saved. If you look at the concordant Greek text, in fact, I'll put it here on the screen. In the concordant Greek text, this says, for in grace, through faith, ye are ones having been saved. It is the complete verb form, which is detectable in the Greek. It's a done deal. And it is a done deal based on Jesus Christ's faith. And it is in grace, that is, you did nothing to deserve it. Sorry, Clyde Pilkington. We did nothing to deserve it. We're unworthy. But it came to us anyway, and it is through faith. This is the specific scriptural wording in Ephesians 2:8. In grace, through faith are you saved. Faith is given to you to apprehend a reality. Faith is not given to bring an unreality, to bring a lie into the real world. Although, in which case, it would be magic words. It would be an incantation. It would be a human, really, work of black magic almost. Like Samantha Stevens in Bewitched, twitching her nose, and something appears out of nowhere. Twinkle, 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 something appears. I believe in Jesus. Poof, now suddenly he's my Savior. Whereas 3 seconds ago, he was not my Savior. That's a false gospel. It's a false presentation. He is your Savior, and this is the way he ought to be presented. This is the way we present him. He is your Savior. And then somebody may, I'm going to get back here to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. So, he is your Savior. He did save the world. He did save you at the cross. And someone might say, well, then what's the difference whether I believe that or not? And you can say, well, whether you believe it or not, he's still your Savior. So, your belief is inconsequential when it comes to him being your Savior. But to answer your question directly, sir or madam, your belief in this fact ushers you into an acknowledgement of the fact. You see, so now you are aware that he has been your Savior your whole life. He died for you at the cross 2,000 years ago. And now that you're aware of that fact, your life changes. Because now you feel loved, not based on actions, because Christ Jesus died 2,000 years ago before you were born. Now you feel safe because you were died for before you had put anything into practice, whether good or evil. And now you feel secure Because if your works did not get you into it, your works cannot get you out of it. And that is indeed the nature of grace. In grace, through faith. Faith is the vehicle of apprehension. And it is graciously granted to you to be believing in him. Philippians 1, verse 28 and 29. For it is graciously granted to you not only to be believing in him, but to be suffering for his sake also. So it is graciously granted you to be believing on him. Tie that in with Romans 12, 3. God grants to each the measure of faith. God grants. Might as well add 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to that. What do you have that you did not obtain? What do you have that you didn't get? And add to that, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. This is not out of you. What's the this referred to? The faith. For in grace through faith are you saved. And this, what? The faith. This, the apprehension, the tool of apprehension, the gift of apprehending what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago, that is not out of you. Where did it come from? If it's not out of me, where did it come from? It's God's approach present. That's what it says right here. Let's go on. It is God's approach present. He answers it right in the context. This context is loaded. And I'm in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It is God's approach present, not of works. And we saw Lonizak speaking out of both sides of his mouth, saying it's got to be Jesus alone, not of works. And then he gives you a whole list of works that you have to do. I'm going to be getting to this if I have time. I'm going to be finishing this if I have time. Never wanted to see this thing again. I'm going to throw it away. So it's not your faith that saves you. Thus the shocking title of this show, Faith Never Saved Anyone. It's faith that brings you to a realization that you have been saved. And to further answer the question, well, if I'm already saved, what difference does believing in it make? Well, it makes a difference of one, it becomes usable now. You're now aware of it. And it helps you through life knowing that God loves you unconditionally. It helps you through life knowing that God is sovereign and he's in control of everything. And it you have such a glorious future to look forward to. You can get through some of the crap of this life by knowing that God loves you and that God has an excellent life ahead for you. Seats us together among the celestials, right here in Ephesians 2, back in verse 6, rouses us together. This is a figure of speech known as prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were, but it is so sure to happen that Paul talks about it as though it already has happened. I love this figure of speech. Rouses us together, seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus. That, in the oncoming eons. Now we get back to the, we back out of that figure of speech. And we come into the present world that in the oncoming eons, that is eons 4 and 5, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us. We are going to be the display vessels of his grace. People ask, what are we going to be doing in the celestial realm? For starters, we will be display vessels of grace. Where do you get that? Right here. That he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. His kindness to us will be exhibit A. Of his graciousness. And it is in grace. Grace saved you. Christ saved you. Grace saved you. Faith is the channel that brings it to your knowledge. And it ushers you into an early life. That's another bonus for the person who says, what's the difference whether I believe or not? Okay. First of all, even if you don't believe it, Christ is your Savior. And you are going to come into life immortal at some point down the road with God, at the consummation of the eons for sure, when the eons are over. But if your deeds have been decent, you know, if you don't, just be honest with people. I tell people the truth, and it's effective. When you scare somebody with something ridiculous like eternal torment, they laugh it off, they don't believe it, because they say, God would never do that. And they're right, and they're smarter than the Christians. But I deal in reality. So I say, well, if you don't believe in it, you're going to miss the next eon. You're going to be dead. You're not going to raise from the dead until the Great White Throne. Oh, that doesn't seem fair. Sorry, that's just the way it is. But I thought you said Jesus is my Savior. He's still your Savior. He saved you. What did he save me from then? Saved you from eternal death. Lonizak thinks Jesus Christ saved people from eternal hell. That's what he says here. After you die, are you going to heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? No. It's, will you die and stay dead? Or will you die and raise from the dead? Those are the two things. Will you die and stay dead? Well, those should be the two choices in the Christian world. In the real world, nobody stays dead. In the real world, it's, well, will you die and stay dead for just a little bit? Or will you die and stay dead for a longer period of time? It's only the length of death that is in question, whether you decide to believe in a fact. But I would never challenge anybody, and I don't want to hear anybody out there challenging anybody to believe in a fiction in order to make it a fact. That is to say that your faith is magic words you utter to turn a fiction into a fact. No. No, we tell people to believe in a fact. That's tough to do. Because nobody, hardly, we're the only people on the planet that understand that. That salvation is a fact. It's a done deal. And the Christians make it contingent upon belief. Contingent upon human faith. And then they have the audacity to go even further and say that the faith comes from within. Even though this verse says it's not out of you. They claim it is out of you. And you better find it quick. You better dig it up. You better get in touch with your inner belief in Jesus, or what if I don't? According to Andy Lonizak, who says that his tract is very biblical, you will go to hell for eternity. Andy, is it hot there? Yeah? Is there any air conditioning? No? What does the devil look like? That Underwood deviled ham thing with the, oh my God. Where'd you get that, Andy? Oh, Jesus spoke on hell. Did he? How many times? Really? God, I got a version that never says hell once. It's the Concordant Literal New Testament. Sometimes it says Gehenna. Sometimes it says Hades. Sometimes it says Tartarus. Because these are the three distinct Greek words that have been carelessly translated hell in your common English versions, Mr. Lonizak and Mr. Wozniak. Now, what's his name? Colin Wablinski. And God knows what whiskey mystic believes. He keeps trying to tell us, but he's pretty cagey about it. Speaks a little mystically. Whiskey mystic. He likes to speak esoterically and mystically, so you can't quite get a grip on him. He likes to be a little slippery. He likes to be mysterious because he thinks that makes him attractive and wise and knowledgeable. No, speak truth. Speak plainly, will you please? Or go away, better yet. Okay. In grace through faith are you saved. This is not out of you. It is God's approach present. Not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. Now the question might arise. Boy, I like what I said earlier there. What did I say that in the real world, it's just how long you're dead. Because I know a lot of good members of the body of Christ. I don't even have to say good. I can just say members of the body of Christ, but they were good, who have died. And they've been dead for a couple years, 3 years, 4 years, some 10 years. The people that I know of. But the snatching away is imminent, so they're only going to be dead for a short period of time, and then they're going to receive immortality. So to the person who says, what if I don't believe in this fact? Well, first I would say, why wouldn't you believe in something that's so freaking true? You see how nice that is? You can say, why wouldn't you believe in something that's true? I'm not challenging you to believe this in order to make it true. I'm not telling you that this is not true unless you believe it. I'm not going to double talk you and tell you that Jesus is your Savior and then tell you, well, he is and he isn't. Well, no, he's really not your Savior unless you believe in him. Well, which is it? No, you're never going to have that conversation with me. Because I declare it positively that Jesus Christ is your Savior. But in the real world, it's how long will you be dead? If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, why wouldn't you? But anyway, let's say you don't, after even being presented with the fact that of his salvation 2,000 years ago. Well, you're not going to live during the fourth eon. How long is that? That's 1,000 years. Ah, damn, I don't want to be dead for 1,000 years. No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, you're not aware of the passage of time, but why would you want to wake up at the Great White Throne and realize that this? You just have to watch the highlight reel. You have to read the history books of how great Eon 4 was. I wouldn't think you'd want to miss that. This is what I tell people. You really want to miss Eon 4? I mean, speak soulishly to them, but lay them out an attractive future. Paul's doing that here. What is it? Rouses us together, seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus, vivifies us together in Christ. In grace are you saved. Man, you can't go wrong in Ephesians chapter 2, and as long as you're at it, start in Ephesians 1. You can't go wrong. So I tell people, why would you want to miss out on that? And yeah, you'll probably get into Eon 5, but you'll get in as a mortal. You'll have to go down to the river of life in the New Jerusalem and eat from the leaves of the tree to sustain your life every month, but that won't be an unpleasant task. The leaves will be delicious. You'll have a different fruit every month. That would be lovely, but, you know, I would rather be immortal, not have to go down to the river. Don't want to have a trailer down by the river that I have to go to. So just grab on to immortality. Believe in the fact. Okay, I believe it. Great. You're in. Believe that Jesus Christ died, that he was dead. That's important. Jesus Christ died because that shows his faith in his Father to raise him from the dead. If he didn't die, he doesn't have to have much faith. But ooh, if he knows he's entering into non-existence, ooh, it's a serious faith there. Okay, I believe Jesus Christ died. Good. You don't believe in the Trinity, do you? Well, how can I believe in the Trinity and believe that Jesus Christ died? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, good. And he died for your sins, like he did it. He took care of everything. Well, yeah, okay. Like you can't get rid of your own sins by believing in Jesus, by, you know, trying hard not to sin. No, Jesus Christ took away my sins. Okay, you're in the body of Christ. That's it, yeah. Now, you go to martinzender.com, see? And then you'll learn a lot more juicy details about your new life. About the life that Jesus Christ won for you that you now have an appreciation of. Faith is the avenue of appreciation. Recognition and appreciation, that's what faith is. Oh, I love this. I love this truth. I'm going to get back to this track. I'm looking at my time now. There's a couple points I want to make here. Oh, this is what he says at the end. God promises eternal life. No, he doesn't. He doesn't promise anyone eternal. He promises aeonian life to those who believe. And a new heart that will desire righteousness. This last line, I can't believe it. Read your Bible daily and obey what you read. OMG, obey what you read. Read your Bible, obey. Just pick up your Bible anywhere, open up to any page, and obey what you read. Okay, let's see. On the seventh day of the fourth month, I have to bring a sacrifice to Jerusalem. Oh my God, I got to bring a sacrifice to Jerusalem. I have to bring it to the priest. Oh my God. What's this, a burnt offering, a sin offering? Oh, what's this thing? I have to build an ark. What? I have to obey the law of Moses? What? You can't just open the Bible at any page. This is a ridiculous, irresponsible statement. Read your Bible daily and obey what you read. So irresponsible. Paul's gospel is applicable for us today. You know, somebody asked me recently, Martin, would this be a good time to contribute to the work to help you out? And my answer was, yes, that would be a great time, if you're so inclined. People ask how this work keeps going. This work is valuable to you if it's helpful. I must tell you every once in a while that it's a grassroots operation and that I can only continue by the generosity of the saints. So if you want to contribute to this work, which is basically contributing to me, the worker, I really appreciate it. And I've never required, if God doesn't put it on your heart, and you don't, you know, want to do it, then don't do it. My material's free. You notice I don't have any levels of membership where, you know, okay, here's the gold level. If you give so much money, you'll get this much. No, everything on my website is available to you, everything. And the show is available free every day. So I don't require contributions for anything. But I've never turned one down. And if someone, like someone did recently ask, like, is now a good time? Now, between the five doctors I saw in Peru with no insurance and the flight that I booked to the conference, the coming conference, now is a great time. If you're asking, now is a great time if you want to contribute. I'll put a link down here if you want to send something along. If you don't, then that's fine too. I still love you. Unless your name is Whiskey Mystic. Just kidding. Whiskey, I love you. If you want to stay here, go ahead and stay. I'm not going to kick you off. I'm not going to block you. But you're skating on thin ice, sir. You're skating on thin ice. Have I told you lately that Jesus Christ saved you at the cross?